Hey, everybody, it's John, and thanks to everybody who helps us out every week by going to patreon.com/stealthisbeer and throwing a couple of bucks our way so that we can mail beers to our guests and have some fun conversations resulting from that. So if you're not already, go check it out. It's patreon.com/stealthisbeer. As Cass says, a little bit goes a long way, and we appreciate the support. Now, here come the sirens.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday. We're stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
You sound hoarse already.
I am rasp.
We are.
I'm in my rasp.
We got the plastic tumblers on the table. We are doing a road show from beautiful Duluth, Georgia. And I know people think I'm sarcastic a lot of the time.
You are very sarcastic a lot of the time.
So when I say it, people are like, oh, it can't be that nice.
That's a fact.
I am charmed with this town. This is my third or fourth time here now, and I love it. Yeah, this is a special town, and I think what makes it most special is the gentleman sitting across from us right now.
Don. You,
Don Tess.
Don Tess.
Super special guest host, Don Tess. Well, for those of you who listen to the show know that if we're in Duluth, it's because we're at Little Beers at Good Word with Todd. Thank you for having us. I do want to take a minute to say thank you. I can't imagine that you carve out an hour for us in the middle of all the stuff you have going on this week.
It's so easy. I literally am on autopilot, and I've been high this whole last 5 days, so I'm good. I'm golden. I'm ready. So
also, when you said hour, Todd's like, I'm pretty sure I read 35 minutes in an
email. I did
email.
Read that part. I don't read emails completely.
Yeah. Forgot that yeah. Beers are
well, once top. You guys meld the beers... And you tricked me with that delirium. I was like, what kind of can is this?
That show.
Wait, you were the delirium?
Yeah,
show?
He was the delirium
I think so,
show.
Yeah.
That almost ended our marriages. That show that almost ended our marriages.
That was a Sunday. I know you guys just lied about what time it is, but that was a Sunday in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So since we stopped being able to do this, it's been a lot of Sundays. And it's been like a lot of Sunday afternoons. We just find an hour, jump in. You know, I jump in my living room, John goes in his basement. But. At one point, I think Justin was trying to make us only his because he would just destroy us with beers like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 And then
he
got better about it or I got well behaved about it. And then all of a sudden, that fucking daisy cutter into Magnum day happened. And it all went pear shaped again.
Yeah.
That was two shows for you guys.
Yeah.
Because you were already loose by the time I started hearing your voice. It was silky smooth.
But so, all right, so you're saying it's nothing. I know that's not true. That's
definitely not true.
That's just adorable humility. But so, because of Carton and because of Steal This Beer, we end up at a lot of fests. And we don't go to bad fests, so I don't want to say this like the other ones aren't good and fun. But this is without a doubt the smoothest, most low-key fest to be part of that I get. Like, we were talking about, so... This is my second time here, so I got the lay of the land last year, so I kind of know what's going on.
But right.
You walk out of the hotel onto the green, and it's like, it's a lovely weather morning. And that mood follows through this fest better than any other fest, even with the people. So what in your design of Little Beers worked to make it that kind of environment? You know what I mean? What was the thinking?
I mean, honestly, the first year we did it, it was right over here in what we call Parsons Alley. So we closed this road, and it wasn't on the town green, which the green is just perfect for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And we moved all the tables out, and we have 55 brewers, right? But the...
How many this year? 80?
There was 84, and then Dovetail wasn't able to send beer last minute, which is totally fine.
Oh.
And then I had...
Shut it down.
We're closed. Sorry, Dovetail, you sons of guns.
They're dead to us.
But no, they're great. But Woody at Tributary was going to fly down with his beer, and he's got a stomach bug, so he's not coming.
Okay.
So I'd already printed the menus, which if you're listening, Woody, I still love you, and I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Yikes. And then Chris at Trophy isn't able to come now. We have his beer, I believe. But so, yeah, we're at like 82. But yeah, the first year, the city, we were pitching the idea to the city of Duluth, and we were like, we want to do this lager event. And they're like, cool, let's get on the calendar for the following year. This is 2021 at the time. And I'm like, all right, well, that's a bummer, but cool. And so they hit me back like a week or two later because they had something fall off their calendar. And they said, can you get Little Bear together in 7 weeks? And I was like, okay, fuck yeah, I can do
sure.
that.
Yeah.
And so I started reaching out to folks. And originally I wanted it to be like, you know, strictly lager brewers, right? But it was still, if you remember, pretty heavy COVID. This was June of 2021. And yeah. a lot of folks.
Omicron was rolling around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, and honestly, if you. The folks who were here for that first Little Beer, we had hand sanitizer and masked up. We were being as cautious as possible because we didn't look like a couple of assholes throwing this, you know, event where you're hoping some people show up. But when the lager exclusive breweries, or people who only are doing lagers, started saying, you know, we can't do it this year, we'll just send beer. I was like, well, you know, we've made some friends over the last few years. Let's kind of open this up to folks who are doing, you know, great beer in general. And yeah. so it kind of became this amalgamation of like, you know, a little bit of brews who are making some noise with different things, but we also have some great lager brews. And yeah, it's just kind of grown from there. And honestly, that DNA from that, a little bit, I learned a lot that first year. But the second year, I really like, all right, this is the formula that like really works.
And that's the year it snowed.
Yeah, well, sleet, snow, I don't know what the fuck it was. But I'm telling you, the weather is what really keeps me up at night, like getting closer to it. I'm like, I need like a fucking crystal ball or someone to like read tarot cards to be like, all right, Little Beer 5 is going to be,
we'll be
the perfect weather.
We'll be so last year
we
there
shouldn't
was
talk
a
about the weather too much, but I have been obsessively
oh, yeah,
following it for the last 18 days. Yeah,
for
yeah.
Me, but last yeah. year it rained for an hour of the fest,
did
and
it? I don't
the
remember
part
that.
I was on was drained. Right, like somehow it's like AstroTurf and like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were on the. Right they had yeah. just done that.
No, I
actually.
Think it rained the day before, and everybody was worried about mud or
but
something
I just
like
remember
that. Yeah.
Somehow
just,
that the grass I was standing on had like.
Yeah,
yeah it was
that's
like
right. Yeah.
Proper
yeah.
drainage. I was like, this is weird and perfect. Like,
so, just as a heads up, yeah. so all the rain that's been happening, the city has been texting me and calling me, like, hey, you need to be flexible. If we need to move shit around, you need to be with it. And I'm like, don't. This isn't going to happen like that. I printed menu, like the maps and shit.
There's maps. Yeah, we have maps.
Yeah, so luckily everything kind of worked out. But that's the stressful part is the weather, the uncontrollable yeah. shit.
I feel
you know?
Like if they made you move something at the last minute, it's like, fine, you know, you can go on to Beer Advocate and deal with these nerds then.
Yeah. I wish people were still using Beer Advocate like that. Unfortunately, they use Untappd. And just fucked Untappd, by the way. Sorry, Osner. No, I do like Osner,
you.
But we're fuck Untappd.
Yeah, that's...
We're with you.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful... 7 hours. I both of you were very funny about it on Facebook, and I remember you. We should talk about what happened to your Facebook yesterday. He had to tell me you're a real person.
Yes.
I was like, "Did you see my?
I think
you see
I
my
you're
fake
a real
Todd
boy.
DiMatteo?" And he's like, "No, that's the real Todd.
That's the real Todd." Yeah.
The idea that someone would be impersonating me.
Everybody's
being
trying to tag you. But
yeah.
Right now, we were here at the bar last night and talking with the guy from the Seed who was Seeds.
Yeah.
And he was trying to tag Goodword and you on a Facebook post, and it just wouldn't go through. And it's like, now you got to search the new
totally.
Todd.
Yeah. So not a great story, but apparently a common one for people who have businesses on Facebook. And, you know, it's like, it seems like not to pick on folks. I'm 45, but there is an older demographic that get most of their information on Facebook, which
sure.
is fine. But we, I
great
got my
grandpa.
I was at our middle daughter, she's 14, cheerleading thing, and there was like zero cell service. So I got hacked on Facebook at that point. I'm getting the notifications. I can't, you know, log in to like change the shit. So by the time I got home 4 hours later, not only was my Facebook hacked, it was disabled, then deleted by Facebook, including our business page.
Really?
And I was like, fucking fuck. You know, it's like, I don't care about the personal shit. It's
sure.
like,
yeah.
you know, but losing the Facebook page 2.5 weeks before this event, I'm like, you
that's
sons of bitches.
That's got to be miserable.
Damn you, Russia.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that it's in and what's frustrating is I know you're not alone in this. And I've talked to other folks that like where this has happened to them before.
Chilling. It happened to those guys.
Yeah. And at this point in 2024, Facebook should be aware that this is happening and actually have
a human. They don't have humans that do it. It's all automated.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But I can't believe since all of their business is getting small businesses like us to commit to their way of doing things, that their solution was, and now that's gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, no way to get it back.
How are they not better at that?
I don't know.
Like, anyway, we're not even
bitching. Yeah, just totally.
I know that happened to you, and that has to be, especially because I love the page, right? I like seeing what you're doing with food.
Sure.
This is, we were talking about this space earlier. So I was saying it, John said to me, he's like, I'm not wrong that this is a special place, right? And I said, what I think makes it most unique is if you did no brewing here, this is a cool fucking restaurant.
Sure.
Right? It's a good space with good food, with good cocktail program, nice space, beautiful
Very
windows.
Good
like I would come
program.
In here either way. And then the beer just happens to be the thing that makes us aware of it from far away. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But talk about, like we just talked about, the event. How much of your time is dedicated to making sure this is the coolest restaurant in Duluth versus the coolest brewery? You know what I mean? Like, sure.
Is coolest the right word?
Coolest is not the right word. We're definitely
fucking restaurant.
Well, I appreciate that, but I never look at us as cool or hip or any of that kind of shit because you know it's a public house. It should be for everyone, and you don't have to subscribe to this or that to kind of get it. And that's cool that you appreciate it like that. But honestly, I equate it to being a gardener, you know, you're just constantly making sure things are good, but it's such a concerted effort from all of our leadership team and the staff. I mean, they're really engaged and they're fucking great. I can't take much credit other than trusting people to do good stuff constantly.
Well, keep tending that garden. What brings us together on Steal This Beer?
Thank you, sir.
I saw you itching. It's funny being with you again. Like, I felt the move.
Yeah.
I feel like...
It's like, come on. You know,
remember the beer.
Give the people what they
want.
Anyway,
what brings us together on Steal This Beer is a kind of candid conversation about beer. What it is, not what we were told it would be. How it tastes, if Todd remembered it or not.
Right.
He did. And what it's doing, not what we thought it would do. To facilitate that, we drink blind out of black glasses. We have opaque plastic roadie tumblers.
Yeah.
For our road shows. I keep grabbing the wrong one. And I have a pretty clean, simple, light, and nicely flowery lager beer.
Yeah. So Dantes, noted writer, man about town.
At least posted it.
He is an experienced beer taster. What was your number that you got up to last night? 27,000 something?
27,650 something. I don't have to count, but
that's crazy.
It's adorable to know three digits and pretend you don't know the fourth. But come on.
So what are you getting off of this? You know this game.
Grain.
Okay.
It's really nice grain. There is a little floral note, but you mentioned. I smell you got your coffees.
Yeah.
I smell coffee.
No, sorry. Yeah, it's we have coffees and mineral water and all sorts of stuff. I got a nice little sulfur thing at the beginning. Just this like a pretty little sulfur note.
Little kiss.
Yeah, just at the start, and then it dovetailed into that floral character. But this is super light, super easy drinking. This is exactly what you need at 10 o'clock in the morning on a
if you
after a day like
we're
yesterday.
Shouting karaoke in the basement at 1 a.m. So last night, I drank. I'm going to do it by brewer's name, but Chris, Sean, that collaboration, they did Bus Beer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And got made fun of for giving notes as I do. But to me, it was British tea biscuit, not crackery.
Hmm.
And that didn't make sense to anybody. And what's funny is for this one, I have none of those words. Like I absolutely get a light, clean, you know, floor malted, Pilsner malt kind of note.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's not giving me any food. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's
Pilsner
malt. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I think it's more, it's maltier than floor malt.
Like a bag of 20 was thrown in at the end?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, I just, it's got a nice, clean malt flavor, and it's not pushing me towards any of those other malt words I use.
No, I think that's right.
Which is lazy as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But literally, I'm like, hmm.
So you picked this out of the
back.
I picked this out of the back.
I haven't had this beer, but I did have it on my radar.
Okay.
So what I get, and I'm not sure if this is in the beer, is rice. Because rice has that floral characteristic. I will say that knowing what style of beer this is, that's it's a pretty easy guess for me to think it's rice, but rice has that, like, especially
jasmine
rice has that floral sort of thing
you
going
put
on.
That bug in my head, and then jasmine. You're right.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I want that to be true, and I want that to be something I learned sitting here, because I get that flower note a lot, and I think I always throw it at the less spicy European hops. You know what I mean? Like not
Sots.
Let's say Middle View.
Sure.
Than Ted or Sots. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But if it's rice, that's because I know that smell part, the flowery part. I know. So if I can assign that to rice, it'll make my life smoother, right?
Yeah.
Let's hope that's true. If it isn't, next time I say rice,
I'd almost
remember that
fucking
wrong.
Bet this is rice.
Okay.
And again, we can text them in a minute and find out. But I'm
is he here somewhere?
Yeah, they're here. But
okay. Is this being poured tomorrow?
I don't think so. They just released it, but I was texting with the brewer of this beer, and because we make a beer that's the same style.
Okay.
Ours has corn, and corn's more of a round, you know, sort of mouthfeel, right? And it doesn't have that pronounced aromatic.
It's sweeter, too.
And it's sweeter. It gives that perceived sweetness thing.
Yeah.
But we had a beer we made a few years ago. It was a rice lager. We make a few rice lagers. My wife is half Korean, so the last one I did was a Korean-style lager, and I put my mother-in-law's face on there. She doesn't drink. She fucking loved it, though. but the first rice, the heavy rice beer we did, it was like 40% rice. It was a pain in the ass to make.
I'll bet, yeah.
I didn't love it. I let it sit in the bright for about 10 weeks, and you know how brilliantly clear the rice beers get. I gassed it up. It was naturally carbonated, but I got it to like 2.8 volumes of CO2, and it was fucking beautiful. But like jasmine rice and rice in general and beer can be like polarizing sometimes, you know what I mean? Not to the level of like Hefeweizen, right?
Sure.
But yeah, I think that floral thing kind of throws people a little bit. But I'm telling you, let's text them and see.
For sure. But like I said, I spent a lot of yesterday afternoon drinking the Double Zero from Crooks, mm-hmm. which was just nicely spicy and, you know, has that point on it. This is like the other end of the other end of that same spectrum where it's 100% just round and clean and nice and simple and definitely a more breakfasty flavor.
Double Zero, is that
non-alcoholic?
Yeah, is that a non-alcoholic?
No. It's not Double Zero. It's like OO something. It's his.
Oh, okay.
It's his Pilsner.
Okay.
You know
okay.
It.
Okay.
I'm just, forgetting.
A lot of their beers are computery names, so they can. It sounds like a non-alcoholic beer, though.
Yes. Yeah.
They make great beer.
I was going to say, are you all right? Yeah.
if that was all in my head, wow, is my head.
I think Sean or Yoran was spiking your non-alcoholic beer yesterday. They're like, watch this. Could we're going to fuck with Augie. Yeah.
A lot of Bergs happening. So it's probably
going
to be
tough to do. So where are
you drinking
it? So we should do the sentence.
Oh, we should
but
do
I
the
like,
sentence.
I like this
where are you drinking
early
this
in the morning.
Sorry?
Yeah, write the sentence. Where would you have this
the
beer
end of this is you write the sentence if you owned it. Instead of being like, the whole idea was if this is in your cellar, should you drink it and where should you drink it? So if you owned this shit, where would you drink it?
I would drink it on my balcony reading a book.
That's fair.
I like that.
I think I'd like to drink this sitting on a dock where it's like about 72 degrees and I have a fishing pole in my hand.
Nice.
And maybe an edible in my body.
Yeah.
That's a tasty beer.
And my only problem with it is I want to drink it more. I want to drink more of it quickly. You know what I mean? Like this is what
there's more in this can.
I know, but dude. Yesterday got long.
If you guys could see Augie right now.
I know. I was just about to say, you know. This is where we need the video component.
Yeah.
You're slightly broken right now.
His
I'm broken
head
in
is
half.
Heavier than it's
half.
Ever been, I
imagine. I was at a Waffle House at 1:30 in the morning with Widowmaker.
Nothing is more Georgia than you coming to you know, the city and being at Waffle House
at
late
1
night.
O'clock in the morning.
It's fucking perfect.
Don's taking a photo.
You can put that on the steel.
Where are you drinking this?
To be fair, I'd like to go back to the Waffle House with it. I did have a beer with me at Waffle House.
They
last
won't
night.
Let you drink inside.
No, I sat there with a kid.
Are you serious?
Night. Nobody yells at me for anything. I don't know why.
Waffle House can be a
nuts.
Crazy place.
Oh,
lots of
the worst.
Things can happen at Waffle House.
I was well over my skis at that point, falling downhill. And I was like, I walked in, I sat down, I was like, can I just have hash browns with all the things you do to
sure.
it? Two
yeah.
fried eggs? And she's like, what? I was like, I can't remember all the words. Just do everything.
But not
to
mushrooms.
Them.
I love mushrooms, but I don't like them on my hash browns.
I like everything on the hash browns.
Double patty melt with hash browns scattered, covered, peppered,
yeah. smothered, chunked, chopped.
What is that fucking those are the tomatoes? Ones, like,
it's they do all kinds. There was chili on it. There was cheese. Whoa. There was tomatoes. There was onions.
Holy smoke! The chili delicious. May have helped you be alive right
that's,
now.
That's yeah, the old, I said. So, like I said, I picked up a roommate last night. Like when I when I landed that in Georgia, when I landed in Georgia, nobody was in my room. And yeah. when I woke up this morning, there was Keith.
Keith Piesco from Widowmaker will also be playing at Little Beer tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, he's so. Brought his guitar in my
yeah.
hotel room.
Yeah, but, nice. He's awesome.
He's great. So much fun.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
much fun. But anyway, I said to him, I was like, thank God for the chili component because right. that's why I'm out of bed right now. I even did yoga this morning.
So what's the beer? It's obscured by painter's tape, which might be tough to get off. So
no, that's why
so
they
this
make painter's
is
tape.
From Green Bench. This is their their new French pills. So French pills, obviously, you guys probably already know, but it's a like built like a German, but it's got an adjunct. That's why I kind of was like, it's got to be rice, and then it's dry hopped. I can't remember the name of it, and it is so covered in tape. There's
I'll do it.
Okay.
We just did one guest. With Aramis and Shrizzle Spelt.
So
and
that's exactly what I have on draft right now. So
which one do you want for beer two?
So we've been doing a beer with Green Bench for a few years now. Like the first time I saw French Pills, it was Chris Loring at Notch doing one. I was like, fuck yeah. Yeah. I'll ride those coattails. You know what I mean? Because he's a badass.
That's a lead I'll follow.
Yeah. And so I checked it out. I was like, cool. And Chris was actually, you know, was on your show, John. We did a podcast, me, you, and Chris.
Yeah.
And we were talking about decoctions and stuff like this. And Chris was like, let's do a beer. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do a beer. So from that, we planned a beer and then a beer dinner around it. And Chris and Dan Klein, his head brewer at Green Bench, were here drinking this beer.
It's dude, called Lip Pub.
Yeah. Oh, it was made for the Beauty and the Beast theater. Sorry, I'm forgetting. Dan told me this yesterday. But anyway, we were making this. We'd made this beer, and they're here for the beer dinner. They're drinking the beer off the tank in the brewery, and they're just looking at it, and they're like, give me these funny looks. I'm like, you fucking hate this beer, don't you? They said, no, it's fine. But I'd use a thealized lager strain that had just come out from Omega, and okay. it took all the sulfury components and – it was not good.
Okay.
Really?
Like it was like exacerbated them? Or
so much. And really? Also we had Bloody Butcher. And Bloody Butcher's fine for a lot of things, but
sure.
it had this pronounced like farminess to it. Like I always look at lagers as like, it should be like this smooth orchestration and no one's doing a solo, right? But this beer was screaming too much. And so anyway, we brewed it again maybe a year later and it was better. And then we just released a new one and it's fucking banging.
Yeah.
But it's Stressful Spalt and Aramis now.
Yeah, huh. So... And they, like, I love Aramis.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes my love of Aramis is not beneficial, right? Because okay. I don't know that everybody loves it. But that one, I was like, obviously we have to put Aramis in it. And it's so fucking delightful. Like, it's, and everybody seems to agree, which is a nice, you know, it's
oh
not
yeah.
Augie loves Aramis. People are really coming to that,
sure.
that beer. This doesn't say rice. It's Shrizzle Spalt. And that he said French grown Shrizzle Spalt.
I'll
preferred by
right
the
now.
Bravest and most daring. French Pilsner malt and French grown Shrizzle Spalt hops. It doesn't mention rice, but it's not hard to text Chris if he's up. He was shouting karaoke in the middle of the night, too. So he may still be sleeping.
Yeah. Are you texting him? I'm shooting Dan a message, actually.
Okay. Smart. Yeah. No, I
so I let's like get that. Back to. Let's. I know we fall in love with towns often,
and towns right? and towns fall in love with us.
How nice is it to?
Yeah. I mean, they're usually throwing parades after we leave, but yeah, that's
I love
recognition's
that.
Recognition. Yeah, it's
well,
yeah.
we do have a big set of scissors the city wanted to hand you guys before you left to
nice.
Do some ribbon cuttings.
Just, they, I'm imagining
yeah.
that
Augie's
scene.
Kissing babies, opening businesses.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love kissing.
Sweating
babies.
Over the babies
yeah.
right now.
I'm a big baby kisser. this went all orange juice on me. Second sip. When I first tasted it, I was like, "Oh, it's a pretty clean little pail with hops I know." And then all of a sudden, it was like, "It might even be a Rattler." It went so orange juicy on me in the second round.
I'm not quite there with you yet.
No.
I'm not quite
like
there.
Like I said, it's two sips in.
Yeah,
but So, you were talking about the town, and you obviously deal with them closely to get this done, but is this town, is there something in that square, or do they try to have something in that square all the time, and Little Beer's just one of them? Is that...
So, yeah, they do a lot of programming. They don't do many big events. They kind of got away from it, because if you have a shit ton of people out there, it overwhelms the infrastructure a little bit, and parking becomes an issue. The restaurants are kind of overwhelmed. So once a year they do this Fall Fest, and there's like 60,000 people over a two-day period come. Damn. It's crazy.
So, guys, this town square I'm describing, just so you have a point of reference, is essentially like a nice New England college town quad.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's
nice,
not
Burling
like,
Green, huge,
you know what I mean?
Stage.
It's nice, yeah, and tight. Yeah. It's very sensible. It's lovely. But it's not 60,000 fucking people big.
Totally. I mean, it is insane. It's our biggest day of sales.
What is the population?
In Gwinnett County, there's over a million people, and that's the county we're in. But in Duluth, I'm not 100% sure. But you know what's funny is this downtown has really only come online in the last 8 years. We're in our seventh year now. But a lot of folks that come in for the first time, or I mention it to them, you know, somewhere out in other parts of Duluth, they're like, oh, downtown? This was like a dump or whatever, you know, no one came down here. So they're still getting their bearings as far as the community goes. But yeah, it is definitely a great community.
Yeah, it's funny. There was even a change in the part of Atlanta, like a noticeable change in the part of Atlanta where Crooks is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I only know this town in this version,
sure,
kind of from this vantage. So it's funny to hear that it was ever less than quaint.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
what I,
yeah,
mean? Like I feel like this is, what's that TV show from when the three of us were kids? Newhart, like where he retires from something,
yeah,
and opens up a little inn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I feel like
Bob Newhart show,
yeah,
whatever.
Like this,
yeah,
is like that, right? Like he's done with it. He's found a quiet little place to go do his thing. And it feels that to me.
Yeah. It but it's purposeful, though, right? I,
sure,
mean, and that's sort of the benefit, I guess, of being able to create something, is that they were able to say, okay, we are going to have this town green,
right,
we are going to have this focal point, and it's I know I say it a lot, but it's just really charming here, and
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
fun to, you know, and every time I'm down here now, I haven't been down here with April yet, but I every time I'm walking through the square, I'm like, she should really come here, like,
sure,
it's the place that you just want to share with,
right,
other people when you've had the chance to do it. And then, you know, no fooling, like having your brewery, having this restaurant is amazing, and it's,
yeah,
just,
yeah, thanks,
it's the cherry on top.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's almost fried chicken time.
It's almost fried chicken time. It's so good. Is your kitchen ready for tomorrow?
I hope so. Yeah, we've got a great kitchen. We did a beer dinner last night with Chuck and Ut, and I love those so much because Chef and the team can kind of flex their muscles a little bit, because you know, if you come in and you check out our menu, it's, you know, it's very pub like, and there's some involved dishes, but you know, it's burgers and fried chicken for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful menu. But doing beer dinners, it's like, holy shit, these guys are capable of a lot more.
So we were sitting at the bar. We didn't do karaoke last night. We, meaning myself and Don, and Maddie Hargrove came up as well. He drove us into town. And so Don and I are sitting at the bar. Don's, you know,
so just
adding
to
his beer
list.
Just
to be clear, yeah, they discouraged me from being part of this because at that point, I was so over my skis, like, you don't want to go get involved in a beer dinner. Let that end and come after. So that's where I'm at in this story. They're like, let the beer dinner finish and then meet us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, got it. Understood. Sorry.
We're sitting at the bar, and Will and Mari Kemper from Chuck and Ut came over, and they were just gushing about the dinner. And Mari showed me the menu. And I mean, there was a time where beer dinners were
pretty
everything.
Prominent,
and,
yeah,
and prominent and common and everything else like that. And then it just kind of fell off. And then,
sure,
I think post-COVID, it's been tough to sort of, you know, get people in the door. But just looking at that menu,
yeah,
the creativity behind it, and just some of the pairings that when you look at it at first glance, you're like, I'm not sure that would work.
Sure.
And then Mari was saying the same thing. And then she's like, but they nailed it. Like, landed it.
I have
it
zero
just,
to do with that. That's,
yeah,
all our chef and the kitchen team. But
yeah,
there's two beers from Good Word, and there will be four beers from the guest brewer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we always try to reach out to brewers that we admire and we're friends with or we want to connect with.
Yeah.
And we do them from September until April, one a month. But, you know, I kind of came from a place that was doing beer dinners a few years before I'd left, and that's Brick Store Pub in Decatur. I'd been open since 97. And, you know, we did them – I didn't say we did them with a strong regularity, but we do probably 4 to 6 a year. And it was one of the most fun things. It's like, you know, you give your, you know, kitchen folks this opportunity to kind of wow people, and they always delivered. And, yeah, we kind of took that and implemented it into our DNA, and – I fucking love it. I think that the beer dinners and Little Beer and Le Bon are definitely the best things that,
yeah,
we do, you know, as far as events go.
Well, as long as Right. Up.
Yeah, there's the
now
menu.
Now you give it to me?
Yeah, there's the menu. Yeah. But it was the tenderloin. It was the Wagyu with like coconut and chili and then a Vienna lager. And Mari was just going off on that last
night. Yeah, it was crazy. I always like to do a little game with whoever's sitting, the guests or whatever. Like, all right, best dish without the pairing and then best pairing. And it was hard last night because so many of the pairings were like fucking dead on. But that tenderloin might be my favorite, like, single dish.
Yeah.
So do they, did Chuck and I send samples of these beers ahead?
100%.
Okay. I see.
And I'll be honest with you, Don, probably the toughest part is getting the brewers to send the beer ahead of time because, you know, we have so many things going on. But Chuck and I was great about it. And a lot of breweries are great about it. But I was telling Chef, I was like, listen, if they don't get beer in time, you know the styles. Look at the BJCP. You'll see their name on there. Just follow the fucking follow the guide of what it says the beer is. That's what it's going to be.
It's tough, though, right? Because for them to get together with you, I'm obviously imagining it's me. You want to be as current as possible, right? Like, even for this, when the invitation came, I'm like, all right, so we'll send Boat because it's 4-2 and it works. And then we were really loving a black lager at the time. And I love how those ripen. You know what I mean? Like, black lagers for me always get perfect, like 3 months out. So I was like, all right, that'll be perfect. But when somebody asked me on Monday what we'd sent, I'd forgotten what I said to, you know, set aside for it. And I wanted to send 10 different things that, you know, we're literally out of tank this week. And you know what I mean? Like, it can be tough.
I get planning it.
But you don't want to come to Goodwood, sit down with you, and be like, here's our 4 core beers that, you know, we could send.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like
it's also not that kind of fast.
Totally. I know, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about, like, for the dinners, though. Like,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff where it's like, look what we did.
I think it depends on, you know, where you're from and the access to the beer, because I definitely don't like beer, craft beer can culture. I think it's kind of fucking stupid. We'll put beers on draft long before. We'll can them when they're ready. I just don't want to be like, hey guys, we dropped 16 new cans. Who gives a fucking fuck?
Right.
It's like, come to the pub and drink the beer. But like, I don't let that dictate what we do. And I'm getting off track complaining.
This is the most on track we've ever been.
But but with a brew like Chuckanut, or, you know, a lot of these brews, they don't distribute in Georgia. So people are excited about it. But that's also the double-edged sword with like little beer. I don't want little beer to be this hypey bullshit because I'm like, well, the everything now culture that comes with craft beer, especially in, I love Georgia, but Georgia is somewhat of a less mature beer market compared to some other states in the nation. Where
come to Jersey.
Well, you know, they want the freshest. I can't get it. I had to trade my left arm to get it. It's like, I fucking hate that. Beer doesn't belong in a pedestal, and it shouldn't be praised. It's good, honest, blue-collar work, and, you know.
Throw it in a black glass and talk about it. Speaking of which.
I'm confused by this beer.
Me too.
Why?
I'm thoroughly confused by this beer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's changed in the 10 minutes it's been in this.
Yeah.
So
at some point, I was going with, like a grisette or table beer or something.
Really?
And then there's this neat little hop content to it, but like it's very thin as well.
That's
and
what I'm saying. It feels like somebody's 5% double IPA.
Really? Wow.
I've got some pronounced sweetness.
Yeah, I hadn't had it before, but I hate that I know what this was because I wonder where I'd be with this.
Okay.
Because I'm in line with what it is.
It feels like somebody backed off of the recipe. Because
you know it,
There's not nearly as enough hops in it.
No.
Totally.
Yeah, there's.
I got a lot of sweetness, and these days that's what drives big IPAs.
I think there's like
in my experience. Like, this is a sweet beer to me.
Really?
Yeah. To my palate, this is a sweet beer.
Up front, it may be a little sweet, but I bet this beer is finishing at like 10, 12, so maybe a sweet.
What are you getting off this?
Well, you were talking about corn and the sugar?
I don't think so.
I don't get corn. What was strange for me is when it was first in my glass, it was. I thought I was smelling hand lotion off my hands.
Oh, interesting.
And so I put the glass down, but that's gone.
Okay.
Now it's kind of like I'm kind of back to grain.
Sure.
What's tying it to grain for you? Because all I've got is that kind of.
And I get
like
a little,
I said, I've got a pronounced sweetness, like a. Hmm. Maybe you poured me the wrong beer.
No.
I'm done with my coffee.
There's a little yeast note.
The only thing.
Sure. Yeah. And that's where that table beer thing for me kind of came from, or just that it had, yeah, that there is this fun fermentation profile to it,
yeah.
on the finish. But
and it would make sense that it's something like the carbonation is pretty high on it too, yeah, I think.
For sure.
Yeah. I keep doing this to, you know,
yeah,
he's swirling this glass for it, and it's still got all of its, you know, prickliness. Yeah. So I'm not breaking it out as I,
yeah,
disturb
I'm not
it.
I'm not getting that hop thing, or that
no,
aggressive hop thing that
no.
you're that yeah.
The only thing you said orange earlier, I'd say like an orange tea maybe.
Sure.
I wanted to say tea, but
yeah,
I wouldn't say orange necessarily. But
there's a touch of citrus kind
of
thing, but like
you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just slaughtered myself last night. But I've got like three notes.
Is there any way I can take a pee break?
Absolutely.
Sure.
It's absolutely not far.
Okay.
I pee a lot.
Sure. All right.
I'll be right back.
All right.
I get that. No, we can keep talking while he pees. We can finish the beer. So, Don, you're the other guest. What do you lock it down for me? Where are you drinking this?
Oh, where am I drinking this? I'm gonna drink this on my balcony reading a book.
Don is a man of singular focus.
Watching The Simpsons.
He's got it. He's got it. Where are you drinking this?
I think it. So I know that I'm not, like, I'm having a different beer experience than both of you, but
yeah,
it feels so much like a mimosa to me that I would put it with eggs.
Well, Jesus. As I'm spilling all over the place here.
I'm the one who's in trouble, not you. There's napkins right there.
Yeah, I'll grab them.
Just grab a napkin. Yeah, so for me, it's drinking like a...
We're drinking different beers. Like, I'm not getting anything you're talking about.
I get that. That happens. That's why we do the show, and that's why we blacklist it. All right, so sit your butt down and tell us where you're drinking it. Don's
Gosh,
having it,
I
believe it or
so
not.
Much better. Thank you.
Don's having it in front of The Simpsons, and I am having it at brunch.
Okay, I could see this as a
for
breakfast
me,
beer. Yeah,
everybody's mad at me, but it reads to me like a mimosa. Like if I was just going to, I know.
Nobody's mad at you.
No, but I'm saying nobody's got the experience I've got. But for
no.
me, it feels like Prosecco and
okay,
maybe some OJ with a little tiny pineapple.
I mean, it's such a light beer. I could see
yeah.
drinking this, you know, early or mid-afternoon. You know, it's such a nice day outside. I think I'd probably want to sit on
God,
that town
it's a beautiful
green.
Yeah,
day.
this is a nice outdoor.
Open it up, Don.
Also, just to remind you guys and
yeah.
anyone who's listening, if you come to Duluth, there is an open container law. You can walk around with cans and beer.
Augie's well
I
aware.
Used it at Waffle House last night.
Well, that doesn't apply to fucking Waffle House, dude.
I said to the lady, I was like, this is open container. I'm loving the slow tape reveal, right?
Yeah, this
so
is...
So I tried to do it like that on this one. The other one was bullshit, the tape
this
job.
This is good.
All right,
here it comes. Here it comes.
And it is Resident Culture Lost But Not Forgotten Extra Special Bitter.
Oh, it's an ESB.
So, yeah, they made this beer for Dan Wade, who unfortunately passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few months ago.
I feel bad for exclaiming like that. But,
no, it's an
Extra
nice
Special
beer.
Bitter hopped with EKG?
No.
So it's EK, it's East Kent Cold.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on it?
Hold on.
Sub four?
Wow.
Is it four? 3.5?
Now I'm going to the tea.
Okay.
Right now I'm back to your guys' tea.
But again,
notes.
So like that's what sucks for the guy who sends the beer
5.4.
Or grabs it. Oh, okay, shit. It drinks smaller than that.
Yes,
it drinks way smaller than that.
Yeah, I thought it was tasty.
No, it's definitely tasty.
Yeah.
And I want to pour a mug with it, sit with it for an hour, let it warm up and see what it does.
But I don't get British malt.
No.
I'm puzzled.
Yeah. No, that's, I did not have.
Before
ESB.
It was revealed, what did you think it was going to be, style-wise?
I thought it was going to, the sessionability of it, or the table beer type thing. Because I'll put an ESB, you know, not in like, obviously in the Belgian tradition, but like, this is one of those day drinking, long. I thought the ABV would be lower on this than 5.4.
I thought it was, too. Honestly,
and,
I didn't look at the can for that. I knew what it was, but I didn't look at the alcohol.
But, yeah, no, I thought it was going to be some sort of sessionable something easy. But, I mean, boy, this is why we do the show, because like we were I was way off. Yeah,
I was sticking with what I said that Sunday.
I'm sticking with everything I said. I'm fine with my notes for an ESB at 5.4.
The only thing with the term ESB and all this and the alcohol content, it definitely bugs me a little bit. I'm not trying to pick on these guys, but like American Brewers, like, you know, fucking, it's a 6% pub ale. I just tell me what it really is. Like, because I don't know what you mean by fucking pub ale.
Right.
Like, you can mean a lot of things. We just made another beer with Ron Pattinson, and it was the weirdest fucking beer. I'll pour you guys some in a little while. It's still in the fermenter, but it's pretty much done. But it was Maris cider, boiled for an hour and 30 minutes, or 130 minutes, and it had fucking tradition hops, and it had Golding hops, and Timothy Taylor yeast, and I had to get 30 pounds of invert sugar. So Ron Pattinson connects me with the guy who makes it in America. He's on fucking vacation, so I have to buy 30.
I like that. I like that pound. Ron also knows the guy.
Of course he does,
like,
right?
Of course he does.
But it had Maris cider, rice, 30 pounds of invert sugar, and then 12 pounds of corn sugar. I'm like, this is the weirdest fucking beer.
Can you?
It's bitter though.
I'm not fully aware of invert sugar. How does it come? Like, what's the...
This is invert sugar number two. So, obviously, there's just varying degrees of it. I'm not going to pretend I'm even remotely an expert.
Okay.
Our old pastry chef made the last invert sugar we did with Ron. And it was cool. I don't know. I wish I knew more about invert sugar to kind of let you know. But, you know, if you look back at history, this beer is from 1896. It's 1896 AK Rose Bitter, whatever. It's an ordinary bitter base. But anytime there's war or whatever, things, malt prices go up or whatever, and you start throwing everything you can to get some sugar out of that. So it's just a weird fucking beer. But, yeah, just when everything's a ESB or pub ale, it's just so fucking annoying to me. It's like, is it really fucking ESB, or is it like a 3.8% ordinary bitter? Or is it a best bitter?
Yeah.
You know, like, let's – I don't know. I like order.
I get that. I'm still – so in my head, I'm writing different ESB recipes with just – Goldings, and I can't get to that flavor profile.
No, I'm.
But I love listening to what you just said. I love if they did an adjunct of sugar for some reason to get up to 5.4 and all that.
It ties
together a lot of what I'm getting from it, right? Because there's no way to. So in my head, I think basically what you're just saying. Like in my head, anytime I'm British, I'm just Maris plus, and then whatever the hop's going to be.
Yeah.
But the sweetness I got only makes sense with other things than malt.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. It's fun to drink. I mean, we're still talking about it, so they did a good job.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So before we let you go to go
run this fucking event.
This thing.
I can't believe you make this time for us.
Thank you for having me.
I can barely do this, and all I have to do is get through this hangover and be ready to stand behind a table for 3 minutes tomorrow.
A bucket of chicken later, you're going to be fine.
Dude, that bucket of chicken. I want the first thing out of the fryer.
All right, so anybody who's still listening, and everybody is still listening at this point, you can't make it to Good Word now because this episode will air after the festival. You can't make it to Little Beers this year. But Le Bon is coming up.
Oh, yeah. September 14th, and this is our third year doing Le Bon. First year, I think we had around 30 breweries, and we had a couple of oyster farmers. Last year, we tailored it back a little bit, and we had, I think, 12 or 14 breweries out here, but they are all just, like, super badasses. And we had some oyster farmers out there as well. But this year, it'll probably be closer to the, you know, year one. We're a lot more breweries, but...
And it's just Saison and oysters.
So Saison, you know, mixed fermentation beer, wild ale, whatever, grisettes, you know, the forgotten stuff, right?
Okay.
You know,
the wrong festival.
You can still come back.
Yeah, WestJet flies direct.
Wait till you see
tomorrow.
Tomorrow's, it's the best. So the other thing is like, and you're super pro about this, so you're a bad brewer to reference because you're just going to be like, well, because I'm a pro, Augie, but you stay sober and man your table.
100%.
I go the other way.
Yeah.
I swear I'm going to man my table.
Yeah.
And then I see somebody I love across the room, and I go over to talk to them, and they say, you should try this, and somehow the festival ends, and I'm drunk, and I haven't been at my own table at all. The volunteers Todd organizes for this
I don't organize them. It's Mary Fiorella. She does a wonderful whoever Mary, job.
Whatever
I just
Mary sure does, she, but yeah, they were better at serving my beer than I am, right? You know you should.
Hard to
imagine. It's not hard. But you know you should be there because you should talk about the beer. But the guy that was at my table
the volunteers
year,
are putting it in the glass. It's right, so much better when Augie's tooling around.
I'm drinking it and telling them what they get.
Yeah.
But I was. He's like, all right, so what are the beers? And I talked him through our two beers.
Yeah.
And Ashley was there, so I was near my table. But yeah. I wasn't at my table. I was at Beer Stutz table. And like 2 hours later, I just walked up to be like, hey, dude, you know, thanks. And he's in the middle of describing and talking about what we did with that beer as if he'd worked for us for 10 years and learned. I was like, I'm really unnecessary here. I can go back to drinking. And then I went way up the alphabet because I only made it to B for the first 2 hours.
All right. Your fest experience aside, but people should come for Le Bon.
They should definitely come for Le Bon. It's super fun.
And
I mean,
hopefully, you know, Little Beer's 5, but yeah.
Oh, definitely Little Beer 5. But you know what's funny is we already picked a date because our chef loves the Masters, and he was there earlier this week cooking for some folks, and I have to talk to Tripping Animals, who will be here this weekend, because they like to do their festival in 420 for obvious reasons.
Right.
So I'm going to see if they would please not do it, 419 next year. But that'll probably be Little Beer 5.
Okay.
But yeah.
We have people, you know, we've got texts on the Steal This Beer stuff. There are people here because of us talking about this.
Well, I'd hope so.
I just love that happens. He's like, hey, dude, I'll be there. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, man, you guys talked it up so much, I have to go. So.
Yeah.
So, Thieves,
but it
if
is
you
Masters
didn't
weekend,
come this year,
so yeah,
it is Masters weekend.
Yeah, the airport was a different vibe than last year, right? There were all those dudes in their vests zipped up and real weird.
Well, there's also, what is it, Lagerville, which is the same Saturday, which is in California. So a huge festival. And, you know, we have a lot of breweries from the West Coast that come out. So sometimes we kind of rob each other. And Figueroa Mountain, if you're listening, let's coordinate. We've been talking about it for a while, a couple of years. But we jokingly said, let's flip a coin and see who gets this date. But I don't think he was going for that. But hopefully we have Kevin Ashford out to good word at some point.
Nice. Right.
But yeah. Did we want to drink this last beer or no? I know our glasses are kind of.
I mean, I can.
Sure, might we can do a bonus beer.
Bonus third beer.
All right.
Oh, wait, was it only supposed to be two?
Yeah.
God Fox. Damn it, Tom.
I don't read
You've
the
been
emails.
On the fucking show.
I'm sorry. Yes, it's true.
That's
so funny. I swear to God, Thieves, when we sat down, Todd looked at us and said, was I supposed to bring the beers? And I was like, did you two plan this? Like,
yeah.
is
that
this
was
schtick?
Last time, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, this is the one he brought for John Hall. Mmm. Oh, that's just nice.
Oh, yeah.
Mmm.
Yeah. I like this. This is...
Mm.
Yeah, this is post-coffee. Nice little roasty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like good.
Nutty.
Yeah, doesn't feel too boozy. Doesn't feel... Yeah, this is...
And I think I used this term before, but it's one of those that's going to ripen nicely, right? Like, it's funny. We were talking about the hatred of parts of our current culture. But I always like to contextualize beers as a journey that started at some point and not be like, you must drink it within X, right?
Yeah.
If you've constructed a good beer, it should get places.
What?
But this beer... What did you do?
Do you know what it is?
No, I just, you know, you're talking about how beer should have
legs.
Yeah, stability. And that's a free amino nitrogen.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to trigger you, Doc. But anyway, but this one feels to me like there's, you know, this is going to be in a can in the fridge for as long as you want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's going to go somewhere cool and not just less of what it is now, right? I feel like there's a harmony to be found in that kind of husky edge.
Yeah.
That is great behind these two other beers, but I think this is just going to be fun to own if you own it.
Yeah.
All right, so it's already been revealed.
You know the rules, right? That you can't bring your own beers on?
Is it?
Sorry, guys.
Is this your beer?
It is.
Yeah. You motherfucker.
Is that a rule?
Yes.
I didn't want to keep.
You're lucky I like it. So the whole reason it's
I was
a rule.
People's
it's the whole reason it's a rule because if I hate it, the fucking beer, I don't want to be looking you in the eye and be like, I hate
you. You know what I would
beer.
Have said is that.
I'm so glad I liked it. Fuck you, dude.
Sorry. Well, the beers that I pulled from, they're for the festival, so I don't want to keep robbing them.
When did you? Yes,
yesterday.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. Like,
so that beer got number one in the country in a blind taste panel from Pace Magazine back in 2021. I sent two crowlers in the mail.
Really?
Two crowlers.
That's right. Your boy's a baddie. Sorry, that's one of our delivery guys there. I'm just trying to see what the fuck he's dropping off.
Okay.
But it's like I said.
Scorch the Earth. Scorch the Earth.
If you own Scorch the Earth Schwartz beer.
Yeah.
A day of canning. Fun,
yeah. This is when you line up for
cereal.
See, this is cans that people should line up for.
They won't, though.
No, they won't.
They'll give a flying fuck about
if
it.
If that ever happens,
there's
please
no way,
send me a photo.
But
that
I don't like
a meme.
Fuck, I don't like lines.
It's
the lines.
It's a bunch of guys in socks and sandals lined up for it. Yeah, it's...
rule breaker over here. Sorry,
God
guys.
Damn it, man. Read your emails. No,
it's
said,
lovely.
I'm glad I liked it because that would have been real awkward. But
all right, so Le Bon on September.
Mm. And it's 5%.
September
14th.
Before that, the Thursday leading up to, we have Fontaflor will be here for a beer dinner.
Fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So make a couple of days to come down and do it.
That's
and,
right.
So
thanks for doing everything you do.
I'm not done talking about the beer.
Oh, are you? Okay.
But one of the things I love
He's
to
like, did
point
I talk
out,
shit?
I'm like, this
I
poor
can't
guy
remember.
Has to go run a festival. He's like watching this delivery guy out the window. And he's like, let me tell you more about me.
No,
your
about
place.
Your beer. About your beer. But so, and it's your beer. But the only thing I want to land on is 4.2 is Miller Coors Light and 5 is Bud. And every time I see those numbers on a can, I just think of with contempt of how much flavor there could be.
Sure.
In that, you know, because everybody asks, how strong is Miller? If
sure,
it's 4.2 or 5, I'm like, Miller Lite strong, Bud strong.
Well, the conception that
exactly
flavor happens
strong.
At an ABV threshold is so sucky.
But
I hate that.
But
you know what I mean? Like, it can't be.
But all I'm saying is
drink
you can drink the exact same alcohol drinking experience
right.
and have this much more flavor in a fucking can.
Yeah. Sure.
And I just always love to point that out when it's just straightforward 5% clean beer with some actual wrinkles to it.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Because when I saw 5%, I was like, fuck, Bud.
Yeah. We released a beer called Old Gold a couple of days ago with a collab with Perennial, and it's American Light Lager with corn, 4.5%. It's fucking delish. I love this beer.
You know, if I double down on the way I feel right now, I'm going to be very useless tomorrow. But you got to stop saying, and then we'll drink this, and then we'll drink this, because I'm not going to get out of here without it. Anyway, it's a real pleasure having you on. Thanks for coming again. Always a good time. Thanks for hosting this. Thanks for putting it together. If you're a thief who came and said hi to us, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
And Le Bon, Fontaflor dinner. There's a lot going on down here.
A lot
if you're
going
near,
on.
Get here.
I'm
all right,
coming
y'all.
Back.
Wait, yes. We didn't tell them how to give us 5 stars on podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
How to give us money on Patreon.
You go
to
patreon.com/stealthespear. Follow us on all of the social medias and write us letters at stealthespearpodcast@gmail.com.
Get at us.